Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox. I'm one of the co-founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. With me today is Eric Johansson. Eric is a teacher and tutor with us at LSAT Demon. We have, Eric, an email here from, we've got a YouTube comment from at Milwaukee underscore woman.
Yeah, so this was on episode 789. Where we asked or we answered a very common question we'd be getting these days about whether or not to hold off for the August LSAT. People who might think, just say screw it to the games and go on.
That happens
August.
A lot. We saw it last night in my class, right? We were doing the free class with a bunch of, by the way, go to LSATdemon.com and sign up for a free account. You'll start getting invited to all of the free classes that we do. I think, Eric, are you up for the next one?
So yeah, May 21st, I'm teaching a free version of my cross-training class. We're going to talk about how to treat logical reasoning like logic games.
Cool.
Yeah. So as long as I can, I'm going to keep getting those games classes in there.
That'll be fun. Yeah. So definitely sign up for that. If sign up for the free trial of LSATdemon.com. By the way, it's not even a trial. It's a free account that you can use forever. Yeah. And you'll keep getting invited to all of our free classes. Love to see you there. But I was in my free class last night, and we do games last in all of my classes now because there's a lot of people who aren't going to ever do the games. And there was pretty significant drop off where people were like, yep, okay, he said I could leave early. And so as soon as we got to the games, it was like half of the people were just like, peace.
Yeah.
See ya. Anyway, Milwaukee woman is asking about this.
Yeah. She asks, you've said in the past that you don't buy into this, but can you please make a video on the effect the LG cut will have on making the LR sections harder? / have more formal logic questions that are prone to diagramming like LG. And other commenters on the video also suggested that logical reasoning will become more like the games, or that there will be more LR questions that have like a numbers and formal logic focus. So what do you think about this? We've certainly heard this and kind of speculated about this. Do we think that there will be any change to LR to make some of them more like the games?
I would just ask what evidence these people have that that is going to be the case.
I think one of them said, on the last test, there were more questions with numbers in them.
Okay. I mean, the questions that have numbers are not about math. The questions that have numbers are about reading comprehension. It's just always a test of reading comprehension first. So when they are asking you about numbers and percentages and that type of stuff, I mean, you do have to read it and you do have to think it through, but you are never, ever going to be doing math on the LSAT. The diagramming thing, I don't see any evidence that they're going to have LSAT questions that are logical reasoning questions that require more diagramming. I guess I can talk about one piece of evidence that we have, such as it is. There was a test about a year ago where there was an experimental section where they announced that there was an experimental section, which they never ever do. So this was like a one-off, really rare thing where some test takers took a section of a test on the LSAT and it told them that they were doing an experimental section, which the experimental section is where they test out questions for future use. And on that special experimental section, there were LR questions that kind of looked like games. So we have evidence that they have, at least on one test, done a weird trial of questions that are like halfway between LR and LG. But running counter to that is the fact that they were in litigation under the Americans with Disabilities Act. They settled that lawsuit. They signed a consent decree. They agreed that they were going to get rid of the games. They are now getting rid of the games in accordance with the terms of that consent decree. They do not like to be sued. They do not want to be sued. It is extremely expensive to be sued and to do litigation. They settled for a reason. I just don't see them like coming back with like, yeah, but we're going to pull a fast one and we're going to like actually sneak the games in. I don't think they're going to want to do that. If no. You know, I mean, if you just think about what a rational actor would do, like a rational, economically motivated actor, what would they do? They would probably just do exactly what they said they're going to do, which is to include an additional section of logical reasoning, probably not change that section very much, probably just go into a world where the test has two sections of LR as we know it and one section of reading comp, and not try to make a lot of waves, and definitely not try to get sued again under the Americans with Disabilities Act, or you know, be found in violation of their consent decree. That's like a court order, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't want to be violating this agreement that they've made. Could they in the future come up with a hybrid between LR and LG? Sure. But when they make substantial changes to the test, they have a long history of announcing it well in advance. I mean, I'm reminded of in 2007 when the first comparative reading passage came out on reading comp. There's four passages. Three of them are just like one long passage with a bunch of questions. One of the passages on reading comp is comparative. And that
passage it's A, passage new, B.
Passage A, passage B. And it came out for the first time in 2007. But that small change, right? It only affects one of the four passages.
Which, by the way, makes no difference. Comp. You read it the same way. Right. You answer the questions the same way. It's just reading comp.
It's just reading comp. There really isn't a big difference. You don't need any different strategies for the comparative reading. But they made such a big deal out of it. They gave away a full free practice test, the June 2007 test. The reason why we have that test is because that was the first test with comparative reading. And they gave it away to the world for free, so that everybody could make sure that they had plenty of time to see this distinction without a difference, which is the comparative reading. And so are they really gonna like all of a sudden start sneaking in an entirely different form of LR? I guess weird shit happens sometimes, but I just don't see that happening.
No. And like you said, even if it did, or even if you saw more of this type of LR question that we already have, they're still not that complicated. You still don't really need to diagram them. How many of these quote-unquote numbers-based LR questions, how many of those just come down to, well, there's a difference between a total number and a percentage?
I got this is going to be kind of a tangent, but sure. I've got a niece who's a junior in high school, and she is at the point where she needs to be studying for the SAT or the ACT. Mm-hmm. And I've started looking at the ACT with her. Eric, were you SAT or ACT?
SAT.
SAT. I was in SAT school as well, but I've started looking at the ACT. I'm actually interested in the ACT as an opportunity for kids like my niece, because she's leans more toward the verbal stuff than you know, she's a language arts person and she aces everything in language arts, and math not so much. Well, the ACT has a section that's called science. And when you actually do those science questions, they require zero scientific knowledge. They are 100% reading comprehension questions. I was able to do all of them perfectly, despite I sucked at high school chemistry. I mean, I took no science in college, really. I know nothing, but just by reading it's like, can you read that graph? Can you read that chart? Can you read the complicated information that has scientific terms in it? But it's not testing your knowledge of science. It's testing your reading comprehension. And that is exactly how LSAT reading comprehension is, when they pretend to be, you know, giving you a, ooh, the topic is science. Yeah, I know, but you're not testing me on my scientific knowledge. You're testing me on my ability to read and understand you're going to give me all the facts I need to answer these questions. Same thing when they're talking about numbers and percentages on LSAT logical reasoning, or same thing when they're talking about scientific topics anywhere on the LSAT. It's really just a reading comprehension test. So yeah. I don't, you know, even if they do start putting more LR questions with numbers in them, hang in there. It's common sense. Like, there's a difference between numbers and percentages. You guys should know that.
These questions just over and over again come back to that same thing.
Yeah.
It's just, there's a difference between numbers and percentages.
There's a difference between numbers and percentages. Yeah. Yes.
I'll just say the one thing that really, I think, helps me with these types of questions, which is what I always try to do, is play with the extremes of the information that I'm given. For instance, did an LR question earlier today that I think falls into this category of, like, kind of feels like a logic game. It was like, all of the tulip trees in the park are older than the oak trees, and some of the sycamore trees are older than the oak trees, and all of the willows are younger than, and you can, it was just all that. What I will do is just like, okay, what's the most extreme version of this scenario that I can imagine? For instance, there are 1,000 tulip trees and they're all 500 years old.
Mm-hmm.
There is one dogwood and it's 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to imagine those extreme scenarios within the numbers that you are given, it helps to clarify why the conclusions that are drawn don't make any sense. Because you realize, well, no, that doesn't have to be true, because you can play with the numbers in such a way that this all that breaks down.
That one is like a particularly difficult, I would say, LR question. I mean, that question does not turn out to be on the easier side of things, but you can boil it down to really even simpler than that. You know, like, it, for those of you who are afraid of numbers and percentages, look, if I were to gain 10% of my body weight and Eric were to gain 10% of his body weight, do you know who gained, like, did we gain the same number of pounds? You know that we didn't, right? Because we don't weigh the same. Yeah. I mean, maybe we weigh the exact same to begin with, in which case we did gain the exact same amount of weight. But if I weigh more than Eric, or if Eric weighs more than me, then if we each gained 10% of our body weight, I might have gained more pounds, or he might have gained more pounds. You guys know that this is true in real life. And I swear to God, the numbers and percentages thing on the LSAT, it's really not more complicated than what I just talked about.
No.
That's really all there is to it, is just, you know that there's a difference between between numbers and percentages.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's it. If you recognize that there's a difference between numbers and percentages, then all these LSAT questions that have to do with numbers or have to do with percentages, you can hang in there and you can figure it out. As far as all the wild YouTube speculation about what's going to happen in August with this new section of LR, my prediction would be it's going to be exactly like the old LR.
Yep.
That could be wrong, and we're going to find out in August. We won't really know anything more until then.
Thanks, Milwaukee Woman, and thanks to all of you who engage on YouTube. It's really cool to see you commenting and chiming in.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
You can continue to do that or email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.